From the LifeWord Studios, this is Life Perspectives with Michael Goring.
Joining me today is NASA astronaut, author, speaker, Jeff Williams. Jeff, thanks for being on the program.
Good to be with you today, Michael.
Jeff, you've logged over 500 days in space, which is absolutely incredible. What first drew you toward becoming an astronaut, and how did your faith guide you in that journey?
Well, it's really a progressive process through life. As a child, I grew to love math and science. I wanted to get education in engineering in parallel. Through the high school years, I grew a desire to want to serve our country in the military. That led me to West Point, to the military academy. And there I got introduced to the opportunity to not only study engineering, but to become a pilot, and even seeded the interest in becoming eventually an experimental test pilot and getting into the engineering of flying and whatnot. And also coincident with that was understanding the opportunity maybe to become a NASA astronaut. So all of that kind of coalesced in the late 70s. In the mid 80s, I started applying to NASA while I served in the Army. Applied over 10 years, six applications, interviewed three times before they finally selected me. And during the course of that time, I came to faith. My wife and I both came to faith. So we came to faith about age 30. By the time NASA picked me, I had a pretty mature understanding and a biblical worldview of things and understood calling in life and saw the providence of God at opening the door to NASA. So I went there with a pretty good understanding that I needed to steward the experience that would come.
So let's talk about that for a moment. Just how did you come to faith? What was that?
Well, like often happens, it was through a very low point in life. And my wife, Anna Marie, and I had gotten to a point in our marriage. We'd been married about 7 years, going on 7 years, where we got to a kind of a crisis in marriage. And our marriage was in jeopardy. Neither of us considered divorce as an option. And by God's mercy, he put some circumstances and people in place that eventually first led my wife to faith. And I thought, okay, what happened to her?
Yeah.
We were actually geographically separated because I was on an Army assignment. And she sent me tracks in the mail. And I grew up in the Soviet times, right, in the Cold War. So I knew what propaganda was, and the tracks were propaganda to me. So I had no confidence in them, but I had a Gideon Bible in my little efficiency apartment. So I started studying the Bible where the tracks sent me. And over several months, primarily studying the letter to the Romans and the Gospel of John, I came to faith.
Yeah, it's incredible. In your book, The Work of His Hand, you share breathtaking photos of Earth from the International Space Station. Can you describe a moment when you looked out the window and you were struck by God's handiwork and creation?
Oh, there are many moments, endless moments. From the first time getting to orbit after riding a rocket for a little less than 9 minutes to get there, and then going 17,500 miles an hour around the Earth, orbiting the Earth every 90 minutes, and the first time unstrapping my seatbelts and floating out of my seat and seeing the grand view from the space shuttle of the Earth, the globe of the Earth, and seeing the speed and just... a lot of things I anticipated, but it's one thing to anticipate and experience, and then it's completely different to have it. And the book was written after my second flight, which was a six-month stay on the space station where I had a lot of time to study the Earth. And I even say it in the introduction of the book, there's not a single moment, you know, there's repeatedly you get struck by the awe and wonder of a new scene. Of a new combination of weather patterns, of lighting conditions, of terrain features, of human activity or whatnot, and then seeing that through a biblical worldview is just amazing. Understanding that the Lord has created uniquely this earth for our habitation and resourced it so richly and given us the capability and the ability, bearing the image of the Creator, to actually have dominion over it, right?
Yeah,
and subdue it and search it out. And it's provisioned for our good and for His glory.
Yeah. Amen. You write about how Earth from orbit gave you a deeper appreciation of God as Creator. You just talked about that.
Yes.
How did that perspective change the way you read or understand Scripture?
Sometimes I get a related question: did it change my relationship with God?
Yeah.
I have to answer no, because ultimately knowing God is through His special revelation, the work of the Spirit in the heart, sowing the truth of that special revelation, the Word of God. But experiencing and observing His work of creation and provisioning the creation from that unique vantage point, and having a long time, you know, up there to study it, just deepened what the Scripture discloses to us.
Sure.
Deepened the understanding. It gave it relief, if you will, a depth of just countless illustrations of what the Word refers to in terms of the awe and wonder of His, the details of His work.
Some people view faith and science as at odds with one another.
Mm-hmm.
In your experience, how do the heavens declare the glory of God in a way that unites the two, both faith and science?
Well, the apparent conflict, or the perception of conflict, is actually what I call the greatest propaganda, most successful propaganda campaign in modern history, culminating in the late 1800s and coming through the early 20th century. There's no science that substantiates what would be contrary to Scripture.
Yeah.
In fact, the age of science, those scientists that we read about in our textbooks, Kepler and Newton, Boyle, Maxwell, Euler, the ones I was introduced to in my studies in engineering, math and science, they were all believers. And they were driven by their theological understanding, their biblical faith drove them and what they saw as their calling in life in scientific endeavor. And again, it goes back to Genesis 1, the commission, the great commission to subdue this creation that has been provisioned for our use in ways that we still don't comprehend, in ways that we still discover. And there's discoveries in our future, in the future of mankind, in God's ordered, intelligent work of creation. And I talk about the mathematical provision.
Yeah.
There's a mathematical order, there's a chemical order, there's a physical order, there's an optical order. We're here at a conference that celebrates music.
Yeah.
There's an order, a mathematical order in music that makes music possible. And even we who bear the image of the Creator are creative in that way. So it's all only understood through the lens of the truth of Scripture.
Yeah. So it's a correct statement when we say when you study science properly, it's a study of the work of God.
Absolutely.
And the Word of God.
Absolutely.
Yeah. The work of His hands combines photography with reflection on God's creation. Why was it important for you to create a book that was both scientific and devotional in nature?
Well, the book wasn't my idea.
Okay.
My motivation while I was on that long six-month flight, the first of three, actually, six-month flights, was to capture all of the imagery that I possibly could, that I had time for, to vicariously be able to bring the experience to those on Earth. And apparently I was pretty good at photography, because when I got back, it started out with the scientist at NASA that used the photography to study the Earth, the lead down there in Houston. He said to me when I walked into a debriefing after the flight, he said, "Jeff, you need to do a book."
Hmm.
And I said, "Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate the compliment. If we ever can figure out how to do a book, I'm willing to support it." And it's a long story, but I ended up with the door being open to me to do a book, and I agreed to do it. So my agreement to do a book had this caveat, though. I didn't want it to be just a boring technical book with pictures and sterile captions. I wanted it to be personal. And to be personal for me would be an expression of my Christian faith. Again, to give testimony to the experience, to steward the experience rightly, is to give testimony to the God who created and made all those things possible, to include our ability to even go to space.
Yeah. Looking back on your time in space, what's the single greatest lesson that God impressed upon your heart?
Oh, you know, when you ask about single things, they're really hard to to pick out. But it was just the amazing awe and wonder in general of the work of his hands. I mean, borrowing the title of my book, Psalm 111 verse 2 says, "Greater are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them."
Yeah.
And I am a study of his works. I study his works. That's what drives me, and I delight in the study. And a big part of the works of God are in the category of what we call his providential care. Mm. And just seeing the unfolding of the circumstances of providence in my life personally, and then in the broader setting of where I find myself, is just fills me with awe and wonder. So I never took for granted the privilege of going to space the first time and then going several more times as well. Yeah. So there was a big sense to steward that circumstance and to give witness to Christ. So, and I still marvel at the opportunity that has been given me.
That's amazing. Where can people find the work of his hands?
You can get it from most booksellers, I think, online. Most people will go to Amazon. It's kind of the default for a lot of folks. Or you can go directly to the publisher, the Concordia Publishing House.
My guest today, Jeff Williams, thanks so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule here at the Sing Conference to have a discussion with me today.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
Great to be with you.
Thank you.